is everybody's favorite homeboy, ECW original Chili Willie, and you're listening to This Is Extreme with Dave Dynasty.
Beat me if you can, survive if I let you.
Proclaim nevermore.
Let the new era begin, the era of the ECW.
Oh my God.
Greetings, ECW fans, and welcome to This Is Extreme, an ECW history podcast. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us and listening to this episode. We have a fun one today. Our guest today is one of the wrestlers from the end years of ECW, the last years of ECW. Sometimes I like to call them the TNN years of ECW, Chili Willie. It's a fun interview. Chili Willie is a great guy. He's fun to talk to. He's got a great sense of humor. He's very humble. Such a good guy. And we got a great interview coming up with him later in the show. Before we get there, let me get my plugs and stuff out of the way. Make sure you subscribe to us on social media. That's the best way to keep track of what we're doing here on This Is Extreme. We shared lots of cool stuff on these on social media, you know, anniversaries, title changes, birthdays, all that stuff that we talk about in the show and that we don't talk about in the show. We share on the social media. I share lots of stuff from other people that have ECW. It's all ECW related. In anything that is any announcements or pressing news with the show, you'll see first on social media. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, or as it's known now, I guess, X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look up ECW Pod. You can follow me personally on X at The Dave Dynasty. Make sure you subscribe to my channel on YouTube. It is youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty. On there, you can find all of my podcasts, plus lots of classic wrestling programs and clips and matches and lots of other stuff, lots of miscellaneous things that I have that I've come across, different projects, different things. It's all there on YouTube. So subscribe to that channel. And the best way to support this show from a financial standpoint is to buy our shirt and just go to tinyurl.com/ECWpodshirt and buy the This Is Extreme shirt there. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you choose. We're available on all of them. So just go look us up and subscribe to us there. All right, let's roll through some historical dates in ECW history. This is for the time period between the release of this episode and the day before the next episode. So it would be October 25th through November 7th. Here we go. On October 25th, 1965, Too Cold Scorpio was born. On October 25th, 1966, Perry Saturn was born. On October 28th, 1995, Too Cold Scorpio defeated Rocco Rock, and by doing that, he won the ECW tag titles, and he chose Sandman to be his championship partner. Also on October 25th, 1995, Mikey Whipwreck defeated the Sandman to win the ECW title. On October 28th, 2020, Tracy Smothers passed away. On November 1st, 1998, Masato Tanaka and Balls Mahoney defeated the Dudley Boys to win the ECW tag titles. On November 3rd, 1970, Don Marie was born. On November 4th, 1994, Too Cold Scorpio defeated Jason to win the TV title. Also on November 4th, 1999, Dean Malenko defeated Too Cold Scorpio to win the TV title. November 5th, 1994, The Public Enemy defeated Cactus Jack and Mikey Whipwreck to win the ECW tag titles. On November 6th, 1998, the Dudley Boys regained the ECW tag titles from Masato Tanaka and Balls Mahoney. So there you have it. There's some historical dates. Guys, let me know what you think of that. Do you like that I read off these historical dates on here, or is it just boring to hear me rattle off these dates and title changes and birthdays? Let me know on social media, because, hey, I can drop it from the podcast and just keep it strictly to social media if you would prefer. So give me some feedback on that. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, I will have the interview with Chili Willie, so stick around.
Be sure to follow This Is Extreme on all social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for ECW Pod. Be sure to follow us, keep up to date, and join in the discussions. We want to hear your feedback, so find us on all the social media platforms and join the revolution.
Okay, we're back on This Is Extreme, and I am joined by another member of the ECW, Chili Willie. Sir, how are you?
Yes. Thank you, Dave, man. I'm good, man. You know, just waking up, you know, and here in the Philippines, and just getting my morning started. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on. I always like to talk ECW with former guys there. But I always like to start by asking people right off the bat, how did you become a fan of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. When I was a young kid, you know, just watching WWF, NWA, way back 1978, 77, as a young kid, you know, that kind of sparked my interest in pro wrestling. And I looked at them as superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know, we watch cartoons and things like that. We watch people like Batman and Robin, and then just flipping through the channels, and one day I just lucked up and just saw these guys in the ring, and I was like, it's not boxing, what is this? what is this stuff, you know? And I just took a liking to it, man, and actually I just fell in love with it, actually.
Yeah, where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in East Orange, New Jersey. I was born, okay. Well, actually two places. I was born in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Okay. And then 9 months into my existence, I was I migrated to East Orange, New Jersey, my grandmother and so my grandfather, and that's where I grew up at until back and forth from New Jersey to North Carolina, but mostly in New Jersey.
All right. Well, when you decided that you wanted to give this pro wrestling thing a try, where'd you go? Who trained you?
Oh, man, that's a long story. Not a long story, but okay. When I was in high school, I wanted to do it, and I couldn't do it. You know, I would, back in the day, you know, we would get those magazines, those wrestling magazines, mm-hmm. and we would see you would see it in pages, the offer to go to school, like Killer Kowalski School and things like that. And so when I was in high school, I think I was probably sophomore, junior, and I actually wrote to them, and I got a response. You know, they said, come on up or whatever. But of course, I didn't have no money. I was only like 15, 16 years old. And so playing football, my grades weren't good at all in school. But my coach asked me, he said, hey, do you want to go to, junior college? I can try to get you in if you get your grades right and everything. And I was like, no, I was fixated on doing pro wrestling. And I was like, no, I want to do this wrestling thing. But I had no way of doing it. And then, went back to Jersey right after I graduated in 1987. I went right back to New Jersey the day after I graduated high school. And but I got married maybe a year later. So I was 19 years old when I got married. And I was like, man, it just sprung on me, right? And so wrestling was still my thing. You know, I went to Rochester, New York, because that's where, I got married and stuff. And so I still had wrestling in the back of my mind. And I said, well, I'm going to try it. And I saw somewhere, because we didn't have internet back then, I saw an invitation to go to Paulsboro, New Jersey, the Larry Sharp School, Monster Factory.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think they were doing tryouts there. And this is 1990. And one day I told my wife, I said, hey, I just started working a security guard in the mall. And I said, I'm going to go down and check it out. She said, go ahead. So I drove, man, from Rochester, New York, all the way to Paulsboro, New Jersey. I think it was on a Tuesday night by myself. That's how determined I was. And I had a singlet. It's funny. I had a Nike singlet. I can never forget this, man. I had a Nike singlet. And I got to Paulsboro, New Jersey, and met Mr. Sharp at the time and some other wrestlers there. And I was so nervous, man, that I went in and put my singlet on, and it was backwards. So the Nike emblem that was supposed to be on my left leg was in the back of me, right? And so I think they looked at it and they saw me. They were like, what the hell? And so Larry, the way he taught, it was just, I guess, not taught, but the way he did the tryout was, you just get in the ring. He said, fall back, take a bump or whatever. And I didn't know anything. He didn't teach me nothing. He just said, fall back. And I just fell back and hit my head. I was like, oh, shit, this hurt. You know what I mean? And he said, run the ropes. And I said, run, how you do that? And he says, run back and forth, back and forth. And I did that a couple of times. And that was it. That was the tryout. And for me that night, it was, like I said, I think it was a Tuesday night or Thursday night. And he talked to me for a second. He said, you know, come on back down if you want to, you know, if you want to train and the price and everything. And I packed my bags and drove all the way back to Rochester because I had to work the next morning. And that was it, man. That was my first time that I stepped in a ring. And then it wasn't until 96 when I tried out for the WCW Power Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And did that tryout, made that tryout. Once again, I didn't have any money. I wasn't married then, though, but I didn't have any money. And I went back home to North Carolina. And I lucked up, and they were doing a indie show in my high school, at Charles B. Acott High School, Wayne County, in Pikeville, North Carolina. And Steve Carino was there, C.W. Anderson, Joey Matthews, Christine York, the Hardy Boys. I mean, all those guys, they were there, you know. And so I was, and my dad was a custodian worker, so I got in free. I snuck in the back door. I was like, who, you know, I went over to the DJ sound system and I said, how do I get into this? How do I get into pro wrestling? And luckily, man, that was Dan Wright. I call him Buddha. And he still runs the school in Selma, North Carolina. That's C.W. Anderson.
Yeah.
They're first cousins. And he said, come on out. And on a weekday in Kinley, North Carolina, it was in a garage, cold as crap. And then it was hot, you know. And so depending on what type of season it was. And I think it was during the summer season, so it was kind of warm. And yeah, that's how I got into it, man. CW started me out. He started me, two other guys. One guy named Stacy Jones. I think he's not in the business. And then there was another guy named Laz. He did some work in TNA and, you know, down there with Bill Barons and Wildside and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what happened. That's how I got on.
Yeah. So did CW help you get into ECW in early 2000?
Yeah, him and Steve Carino. When they got when CW got in, you know, I was wrestling on the independent circuit, wrestling for Gouge Wrestling. Well, it's called Gouge Wrestling now, but it was SCW.
Yep.
I know you're familiar with it. And they were doing a show in Durham, North Carolina, at a bar, and Steve and C-Dub came out, and C-Dub said, you know, they invited me to come out one weekend to one of the ECW shows, and just hung out. You know, I didn't do anything. I just hung out. And then I think I got invited again, and I did a little workout, and that's how I got on with ECW. But I had to do ring crew and, yeah, you know, I was doing ring crew and wrestling, you know what I mean? It wasn't I wasn't that good enough to get. I was green as green could be, you know what I mean? And so I was only like 2 or 3 years in the business, and then but I had a good physique, you know, at the time. I was, you know, I was pretty lean and, you know, good medicine.
little helper, huh?
No doubt.
So how did the Chili Willie name come up?
I was in practice in, we were in Kinley, and I was in practice, and they were, Dan asked, he was, you know, he's asking, what's going to be your name? And I wanted to be Cyrus the Virus,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I watched the movie Con Air, and
yeah.
and didn't know that Cyrus was, you know,
yeah. Don Callis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't know anything about ECW.
Mm-hmm.
So, but CW did. CW said, no, you can't use Cyrus. And I said, well, I was like, well, man, I don't know. I don't know what my name is going to be yet, you know. So I went home and just chilled. Well, I was dating this woman, and one day I called her, and her brother-in-law was on the phone, and he said, Chill Will is on the phone. and it clicked right then. When he said Chill Will, then I was just thinking of rapper, you know, because, you know, this Will. And I was like, Chill Will. And then I said, well, I want to be Chill Will. I said, what about Chili Willie? That's what that, and then I came back the next time we came to practice, and I said, I'm gonna name myself Chili Willy. And Dan said, what, like the penguin?
Yeah, I've heard.
Said, oh yeah, I forgot all about the penguin. Yeah. And I said, well, anyway, I'm gonna keep it. He said, all right, Chili Willy. So what kind of name is that? And, you know, they were ripping me on that name for a second there, but then it stuck, you know, and so the rest is history, you know, Chili Willy.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the young listeners and stuff may not know that Chili Willy was a cartoon penguin back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, had a little theme song and everything going for him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still in the Chili Willy.
I don't know if anybody remembered that. Who knows? Well, when you got in ECW early on, I remember you feuding with Johnny Swinger quite a bit there early on. Right. Yeah, Johnny, man, he's a talent. A lot of people don't.
Man.
I think he's a little under. I knew he's doing some stuff in Impact here now. It's still out there, and but man, right. He's one of those guys that's kind of underappreciated. So tell me about your experience with Swinger.
Let me tell you, when it was when I first got to ECW, you know, Paul or Tommy, whoever was booking at the time, they would put me with Guido, you know, guys like that, you know, Red Dog, you know, when he come in, and things like in the singles matches. And I remember when I was in WCW. When I was in WCW trying out for the power plant, I remember Johnny Swinger coming through there because he was a mid-carder down in WCW. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing him, you know, him, Lash LaRue, all those guys, you know. And when he came to ECW, and then Paul was like, you know, or Tommy was like, you know, you're going to be working Johnny Swinger. I was like shitting my pants. I was like, whoa, you know, I've seen this guy on television, you know. It's like, oh, snap. But Johnny, man, he took care of me, you know, just like everyone else took care of me. You know, every match that we had, you know, he really took care of me and everything, you know, walked me through it and everything. So it was great working with him, you know, like it was great working with everyone, you know. There was no one that I could say, even if I messed up the match or if I thought I messed up the match, it was, you know, they took care of you. They took care of me. You know, they weren't no asshole, no dick to me or whatever. Yeah. And constructive criticism, you know what I mean? So it was just some good stuff, you know. And I'm glad I went through it, you know, because I was learning on the fly pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see sometimes if you go back in some of my matches, you can see I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, what do I do next? You know, Easy Money, and, you know, when I was working with him, and, you know, it's just things like that. The guys like that, man, they were just taking care of me, you know, and had good matches, you know, pretty decent matches.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, I mean, putting you in there with guys like Swinger, Guido, stuff like that. They're putting you in there with guys that can lead you, right?
Yeah,
those experienced guys. Yeah.
Tony Mamaluke, Mike Bell, you know, rest in peace, you know. And then as time went on, I would, you know, they matched me up with guys, you know, like Boss Mahoney, New Jack, you know, mm-hmm. even Sandman, you know. One time I was with Raven, you know, and so just I wasn't their tag partner except for Balls, but it was just like graced the ring with them. And they were like, you know, either they came out to save me or I just did a, you know, whatever, and I powder out, you know. It was just good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Even Rhino, of course, Rhino took care of me a lot, you know. So I had it was good. It was just an all around good experience for me. And, I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you talked about that, like teaming with a lot of guys like Sandman, Balls, New Jack. A lot of that was against the Baldies.
Yeah.
And again,
exactly.
I think the Baldies is another little group, you know, guys that were kind of underappreciated for the ECW. Tell me about the Baldies a little bit.
Man, DeVito and Angel, man. I mean, and someone you want to talk about, someone who really took care of me, that was Angel. You know, whenever me and Balls would go against them, you know, Angel would go like, I got Chili, you know, come with me, Poppy. You know, he'd say, come with me, Poppy. You know, and DeVito and Balls would do their thing, and me and Angel would do our thing, and he just walked me through it. You know, he'll tell me, you know, this and that, and you know, and it was awesome. You know what I mean? I like working with guys that's kind of snug. I mean, Angel's not that, he wasn't that snug, but you know, he'll give it to me if I gave it to him, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I love that, you know, I love that snugness type of wrestling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talk about learning and doing this and everything. I mean, you're learning also while appearing on a national TV show on TNN with them.
So, yeah, I was whoa, you know, and so that was kind of exciting, kind of, you know, crazy. I think I was up there once or twice or whatever. I remember coming back home to North Carolina, my uncle and my cousins, I saw you, boy, I saw you, yeah, running, and I was like, really? You know, and so, but to me, it wasn't, you know, there was cameras there, but there was cameras there before that, yeah, you know, and it was like, it didn't really seem like I was on television, not like I, yeah, thought it was. And so that's how it's sort of like, that's, you know, life is like that. It's like you see it through the eyes of television. You see certain things and you think it's bigger than life. But then once you're there, it's like nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was just like a regular show, house show or whatever, you know, yep, but it was on television. And yep, I was like, whoa, you know. So, yeah, yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I imagine on your end it didn't. I mean, yeah, like I said, at that time they were filming everything, so no matter. I mean, whether it was going to home video or on the hardcore show or on TNN, I mean, mm-hmm, on your end, you don't notice any difference. I mean, it's the same setup, same crowd, exactly, pretty much. I mean, yep, and yeah, so you don't really notice the difference per se. So
look, let me tell you, I also didn't know the difference because I didn't get paid. So.
Well, yeah,
I didn't get paid no TV pay, but I got paid regular pay. You know, yeah, what I mean? So yeah, it didn't matter. I was just having fun with it.
Yeah. And you were right up with DCW almost to the end. I mean, that was, yes, towards the end there. Did you kind of ever get the feel that maybe an end was coming? Did you know something was going on?
Yeah,
was there any,
yeah,
vibe there?
Yeah. The talk was there. You know, I was there, you know, when a lot of the guys weren't getting paid. You know, I wasn't on the contract, so it didn't bother me too much. You know, I was getting my $75. Dollars for wrestling, $75 for putting up the ring. So, you know what I mean? It didn't really matter to me. But, you know, guys that were on contract, man, they were, you know, we would get there. Of course, we would set up the ring and you would hear guys, you know, just bitching and complaining about the, you know, not getting paid. And, yeah, and so, yeah, you knew what was going on. And the thing was, as a performer, wrestler, you know, worker there, you know, you just knew, you just felt it, you know. And so but the show went on.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, the locker room was like, you know, when, yeah, it came to that, you know?
Yeah. Did you notice Paul Lee not being around as much? I mean, could you...
at the end, yeah, there, yeah, were a couple of times, yeah, yeah, there were a couple of shows we you know, he wasn't there, whatever. So we were like, oh, okay. And then you hear, you know, oh, he's going to WWE or whatever. You know, they're trying to call certain guys up, you know, from ECW. And so, yeah, we knew our role as ring crew guys. They were like your upper echelon guys, you know, the Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn's, you know, Lance Storm, those guys hung out. And then, you know, you had your second tier guys, you know, and then you had us, you know, and like, okay, the ring crew guy, the referees and stuff like that. And so,
yeah,
we just heard things, you know, and we just saw it. And but when we went out there, we tried to perform as best we could. And,
yeah,
that was it, you know.
Yeah. Until so at that time, who all was setting up the ring with you?
Me, Mike Keener, H.C. Loke, Prodigy name? What's his name? Prodigy. I forgot his name. I forgot his real name, but he went as the Prodigy. Yeah. Who else? That was the main crew guys, pretty much. And then, you know, some other guys that would come in that if they wanted to get on the show, whatever, they would just, you know,
yeah,
they would come early, help out.
Yeah.
But I knew I drove the bus, I mean the truck, you know, and until I got off the ring crew, it was, you know, I would come from North Carolina, go to Philadelphia, pick up Mike Keener. From there, we go from Mike Keener's house to Long Island in my car, I drop off my car there. We hopped in the bus, the truck, and then we go wherever we needed to go. You know, and yeah, it was rough, man.
Yeah.
it was rough, you know. So I was glad when I got off the ring crew.
I bet, yeah. So ECW, I mean, a lot of people always talk about it being a place where guys could go and get a chance, right? I always hear it talked. Yes. You know, a lot of people refer to it an island of misfit toys, right, so to speak, where maybe guys that wouldn't stick in other places and get a chance to shine there. Do you agree with that? Is that pretty valid discussion? Well, description?
Well, looking back on it, yeah, but then again, I don't know, because I didn't know anything about ECW until I got into ECW.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I didn't know they were going on as long. I didn't know that the top talent that came through ECW, you know, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, you know, Snuka, you know, mm-hmm. there's some of everybody who kind of came through that company. So we can't say that, you know, it was a lower, you know, grade. I think production wise, and as far as getting on national television, yeah. But when you look at the talent that came through there all those years, man, I mean, they went right along with guys from WCW. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, little, and you know, I would probably say they were probably, yeah, probably third, you know, because WCW had a big, you know, they had a big bag, you know, mm-hmm. with Ted Turner and of course Vince McMahon, you know, his money. And yeah. So Paul was doing his thing, but the talent, man, the talent, some of everybody came through there. And you know, it developed some people. You know, a lot of people like me, you know, it definitely mm-hmm. helped me out. You know what I mean? And so it had its place. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And you also hear about the locker room, how it was very family like, right? Everybody was real close. Everybody looked out for each other. It was like, yes. everybody trying to work together to help the company move. Did you feel that?
Yes. When I got there. Yeah. When I got there, it had to have been like that before I got in there, you know, because mm-hmm. when I got there, man, I mean, they welcomed me in with open arms. There wasn't no, you know, no one snubbed their nose at me at all, you know. And because of course, I didn't come in there with no crazy attitude either, no ego. You know, I was taught right, you know. So if you're trained right, you talk right, you know, you go in and you are you present yourself correctly, then, you know, you won't get mistreated. So, but yeah, it was like a brotherhood, man. Once you walked in there and you know, started getting along with guys, and then you will see guys, you know, like Rob Van Dam, Lance Storm, those guys, and Just Incredible. Those guys will help you out, Raven. Even, you know, before the show, you know, if you get in there, you were talking over your match, you know, I mean, they would go in there, they would give you pointers, you know, and you'd be like, oh, snap, that's Raven talking to me. He said, hey, why don't you do it this way? You know, you're like, oh, snap. You know, you try not to mark out, but yeah, you know, I'm sitting there marking out, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how it was, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it was before I got there, but when I got there, man, they were pretty cool with that. If you were in the crew, meaning if you were working for ECW, not just coming for like one night and then, you know, bouncing. So yeah, if you were on the roster, pretty much, yeah, it was like a family get together. That's why it was kind of hard for me when I went to OVW after, you know, after I got out of the military, and I went to OVW. You know, it was like nothing like what I had expected. You know, because when I went into the Army, you know, I had been away almost 3 years, and mm-hmm. so wrestling life had changed. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, you know, I had no television, you know, from the year 2002 until 2005, four, you know, and it was like, I didn't know what was what, you know, and because I was in Iraq. So when I got into OVW, I was still thinking, you know, life was like it was before I went into, you know, into the military. And when I got there, it was rude awakening, you know, the attitudes and the, you know, the personalities, you know, there were some cool people down at OVW. I'm not going to lie, but it was just, you could tell that it was just a different, whole different animal there. It was just like, I didn't like it at all, you know?
Yeah. Who was running OVW when you were there?
When I first got there, Bill, Hugh Moore.
Hugh Morris. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For a little bit. Then it got into Tommy Dreamer, Lance Storm. That was the contract, you know, crew. And then of course I think Rip Rogers is the lower class.
Yeah.
You know. But some of those guys in the lower class,
started moving up quick, you know. But yeah, when I got there, that's who was there, you know. I was in a class with people like Ken Anderson, Johnny Mundo, Beth Phoenix, you know, Bobby Lashley, Elijah Burke, you know, guys like that. That's who I was in there with, you know. And it was interesting, you know. And then when I was there, I told this to another podcaster the other week, you know. It was like, you know, when I saw Nova there and I saw Joey Mercury and I saw, you know, when I saw them there, it was like, yo, these guys, I was in ECW with, they were like, you know, what did he, cause like I said, I didn't understand OVW, and I was like, oh, and I just couldn't understand, well, why is Nova here? You know what I mean? I mean, because Nova was like, you know, he was top guy and one of the top guys in ECW. Yeah. And Joey Mercury and Christian York, they were a hot tag team, you know. And I'm like, what are you doing here? But no one had to explain to me what OVW was, you know. Yeah. I came straight out of the battlefield, straight into, you know, WWE, you know, meat factory. So
Well, I know you weren't in this class, but did you ever interact with Rip Rogers at all? Were you ever around him?
No, I never, no. Never. Yeah, I never. Yeah, but I know he's. I know the history that he's a good, good, you know, coach.
He's a crazy dude. He's at where I'm originally from in Indiana. He's he lives about 10 minutes away from where I used to live. And
really?
I talked to him a lot. He's great. I love Rip. He's a good guy. But he does not put on a filter, man. He'll tell you whatever is on his mind, however he wants to tell you.
And he looked like that type of guy. Whenever I would see him come in, you know, because we had our class first and then they had their class come in. I was like, who this guy? This Rip Rogers guy. I heard of that name before, you know, and I was like, he just looked like a throwback, you know what I mean, from the 70s. I was like, man, it looked like he's, you know. So, but OVW, it had its moments, you know, but it was just Mike would manage a lot, and it was just, you know, and I was just coming out of the military, and I was like, nah, I don't want nobody telling me what to do.
I had enough of that. Well, tell us a story about your time in ECW that maybe a lot of people haven't heard or something. Just whatever it may be, a road story, driving the truck, a locker room story, just something funny or whatever. Maybe just share something.
I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to.
We don't want to break up any marriages or anything. But.
I'm hanging out with New Jack one time, you know, and driving him from Philadelphia to Ohio. We met some chicks there, and he always had chicks, man. You know, New Jack always had some chicks in every, just about almost every state we went to. So, but this particular night, he was hurt. I think he was hurt because of his leg that happened with the fall or something like that with Vic Grimes or something like that. Anyway, he was coming with an injury, and I remember he bought a Mitsubishi Eclipse. He wanted me to drive him to Ohio, and I was like, I got something. I got to get back to North Carolina. He's like, come on. So I remember, you know, driving him up, and we stopped at a Waffle House. No, we stopped at an IHOP. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was like maybe two or three o'clock in the morning. Yo, he was gassed up, yo. He was gassed up. And the waitress was like, is he okay? And New Jack had the fork, you know, getting ready to put it in his mouth, but he was falling asleep and slobbering all over. And I'm sitting across from him. I'm trying to, and people looking at me, I'm trying to get, yo, Jack, you know, wake up. And the waitress came in, she said, is he okay? I said, yeah, I got him. As soon as she got over there, you know, I mean, she said, sir, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I had to help him back into a car, got him up to Ohio, man. We hung out there, whatever. You know, things like that, you know, I hanging out with Balls, you know, and doing certain things with Balls. But yeah, it was there's some stories, but the stories that I have is like, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some shenanigans going on. A lot of shenanigans.
Yeah, people talk a lot about Balls, man, about how good a guy he was, man, and how, you hear he was this badass in the ring, chair swinging, whatever else, but he was just like a big teddy bear, a sweetheart.
Yeah, he was. Balls was like the most. When I first met the dude, I was like, yo, this big crazy looking dude, you know, he's a crazy looking, and he talked so fast, you know, and loud, and so. When I first got paired with him, man, I was like, what in the world, you know? But he calmed me down, talked to me, you know, just like New Jack did. And both of them, man, it's just one of those things. And even Sandman, you know, and the stories about Sandman, man, we can go to any club, man, and people would just be like, fixers, you know, I'm just going to put it to you like that, fixers, you know what I mean? All of them, New Jack, Sandman, Rob, if we went out, you know, I mean, people would be just like, you know, you had those pictures. Then you had the pretty boys like Chris Chetty and Danny Doran. They had the groupies. Oh, my God. They had the girls. Oh, my God. Every show we taking down the ring and there's girls just hanging out waiting. I'm thinking, that, you know, I'm trying to push my Mac on. You know what I mean? They're like, nah. Yeah. We waiting for Chris Chetty and Danny Duran to come out the locker room. It's like, oh, no. You know, Kid Cash, you know. Uh-huh. Let me tell you, that's a bad little joker, too, man. He's tough, man. He ain't take no crap, and he could get the girls, too. I was like, oh, man, all these guys, I'm just sitting here. Because when I was wrestling independent in North Carolina, I mean, we had our little shenanigans, but nothing like on the scale when I was in CW. And the crowd, man, they just, I mean, they were just in it, you know. They were, yeah. It was just like a cult family, you know. Uh-huh. And they just loved who they loved, and they would let you know if you was a shit too, you know. If you was a shit, they would tell you shit, you suck, you know. But if you're pretty decent, you're good, man, they have your back, man. They chant for you, the groupies will wait out for you, and it was just crazy.
yeah, I remember I saw you in Indianapolis, and this was the show where Taz came back from WWE to beat Mike Awesome, who was technically on WCW. Tell me what that was like for you guys in the back, because they just walked back in straight to the ring is what I've always heard, and then straight out.
Yeah, that was the first and only time I had ever seen or met Mike and Taz. I didn't even, because when I was there, Taz was gone and Dudley's was gone. Mm-hmm. So that night, man, we were in the back, you know, we put up the ring and stuff, and then, you know, we were there early, the ring crew guys. So I didn't see him until that time he came out, and then Taz came, but Taz came in, he came in the back, he hung out a little bit, and I think the Dudleys came, they were there, they kind of hung out, you know, they weren't on the show, I don't think, but they were there. Or something like that. And that was the first time I seen those two and the Dudleys at that time. And I didn't speak to him, of course, because I was not marking out, but I didn't really know who he was, or, you know, because like I said, I didn't really know ECW. I just knew that he was a champion. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like one of my, Mike Awesome wasn't like one of my guys that was on my radar as a kid wrestler. Neither was Taz. You know what I mean? But just the, you know, being in ECW, it was like, oh, shit, you know, those are the guys, these are the guys, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, okay. And then when I saw them, I was like, wow, you know. And so, Mike, he was big dude, man. Good look. You know, he had a good physique, everything, man. Mm-hmm. That was it on that night. I didn't see him until he came out, actually.
Yeah, was anybody in the back talking that, hey, be ready in case this thing goes south, in case Mike does anything, you know, because, you know, I don't think people knew what to expect, right? Because he was coming in from WCW, and it was this weird situation.
Right. I no one said anything like that, not to us, not to me. Like I said, I was in my lane. I knew my role. So I was kind of standoffish big time. You know, I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't follow too much of that, even with the WCW. I knew he was champion there or something, but it was something like he was supposed to dump the belt or something, and I don't know, something like that. But it was just, Yeah, I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I was just in the moment just to see him come through. Yeah. And that was it. You know what I mean? And see Taz. And then they went on their way, man. And then, you know, you see him on WCW. And like, okay.
Yeah. And I know you weren't there early on, but a lot of people have always talked about how those final years, you know, when things were really going national, that ECW had changed a lot, right? The, you know, it was different. It felt a little different. You know, didn't have that, I don't know which one, that underground vibe anymore, right? Because they were
right
on the national thing. Did you ever hear anybody talking like that? That, oh, it feels different. It's not like the good old days or back in the old days or.
No.
Or did everybody just still feel like this? Everybody's pitching in. Everybody's fighting the power type thing. And
I'm going to tell you, when I was there, Dave, man, that was like a, I don't know, I was like a little sheep, you know, just, you know, eating my grass, you know, by myself. You know, I didn't know what was going on because I didn't know ECW. I didn't, it did not, I'm telling you, it did not register to me at all. Now, had it been WCW, I would have been all in it. You know, I with my mind, because I follow NWA. And everything like that. And when it transitioned over to WCW or WWF to WWE, whatever. But ECW, I had no clue what it was. And I vaguely at that time remember Paul Heyman because he was, you know, in WCW.
Yep.
And I said, oh, that's the guy Paul Dangerously, you know. And and so, and I didn't know that he was, you know, actually the one owning the thing until I got there and everything. And so, When CW went to, when he was training us and he left to go to ECW, actually had a tryout. And the guy that his friend told, you know, he also helped train me. And then it was his tryout, actually. But CW stole the spot. And they picked CW. And so we were like, oh, okay, CW's going to ECW. And I kept saying, what is ECW? I don't know anything about ECW. You know, but Toad was the one who was really a mark for ECW. You know, he would come back and say, you know, before CW even tried out, he would come back and, you know, he would go to some of the shows, come back and tell us about ECW. I just didn't know anything about it. I'm being honest with you. I just didn't know, man. And it was like, it didn't register. That was not on my mind. My thing was wrestling, to learn pro wrestling and to either get to WCW or either WWE.
Yeah.
Because at that time, Lodi, he was also trained by CW a little bit. And what he just left right when I got into training, he just left and started going. He was with the Flock with mm-hmm. Raven at WCW. Raven was still at WCW. And we were like, you know, marking out that Lodi had just moved up to WCW. So my heart was trying to get to WCW, especially after I did the tryout at the power plant.
Yeah.
And so but when CW got hooked up with ECW, I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. And then that's when CW and Carino brought me in and I started hanging out. And then I started learning about ECW because I had no clue who none of those guys were, none of them except for I didn't even know that Just Incredible. I didn't even know that he was the 1-2-3 kid that was in WWEF at the time. And I was like, oh snap, that was him. And then it started clicking. And then I saw Lance Storm and then, you know, Raven, you know, of course. And so, you know, I didn't know anything about Mikey Whipwreck. You know, I didn't know he was been wrestling that long and, you know, had all, you know. And I was like, so for me, you know, I was just clueless, man. I was seriously clueless. And I was just going along for the ride, man.
Yeah. Well, those are all Northeast guys, right? And that was a different scene.
Right, exactly.
What you're used to. Yeah. So.
Exactly. And we didn't get that channel in North Carolina, you know, unless you had a special, you know, payment or whatever on your cable, but I didn't get that channel.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. You know, it's like going wrestling for XPW or something you know, somewhere out in California. And I didn't know anything about it. So, but I was thankful for it. I'm thankful for it now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's it like now when you look back and you talk about it or people say something about it and you're like, oh yeah, man, go turn on the Peacock. You can see me on there, all right, on ECW. Like what, what's that like now, looking back on it?
Good memories. You know, I'm glad my life went that way. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world. Sometimes I wish that I would have probably asserted myself even more and got even, especially when I was in OVW. I kind of regret. No, I don't regret. I don't know the right words, but.
Well, it's easy to look back and say, what if? What if, yeah, I had, exactly. What if I had said a little more? What could have happened?
Yeah. Right. What if I had went to Puerto Rico when I got, you know, when John Laurinaitis told me, you know, hey, you know, Vince thinking you should go down, get more training, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. You know, I said, no, I want to go home because I just came from war. So I just, you know, that's probably the only what if. You know, but when people, you know, say original ECW, you know, I'm just glad to be in that category at that last second. You know what I mean? you know, because the history of ECW, now that I look back on, I'm like, whoa, I didn't know these guys came through this company. You know what I mean? And then for me to be one of the originals, you know, it's like, wow, you know, that's an accomplishment for me. You know, that's it.
Whether you slipped in right before the door closed or whatever, you were still in the room, weren't you?
Like a fly on a wall.
That's right. Nobody can take that away from you, right?
No one can take that away from me. Exactly.
Chili Willie was in ECW. He's in the magazine. Did you make the games? It's been so long since I played the game.
I didn't.
Or was
make
that
the
right before you?
That was during my tenure, but it was that was also during the money period time too.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what happened. I wasn't, you know, good enough to make the games, I don't think, at that time. You know, I think if ECW would have kept going, you know, maybe at some point I would have got it. But yeah. I never even seen the games.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth. You know, so like I said, I was a curtain jerker, and I was glad Tommy gave me and Paul gave me that opportunity to be in ECW, man. But you know, it was good. I didn't have no t-shirts with my name on or anything like that, you know what I mean? So
but yeah,
I had fun, you know.
Even where you were though, man, that's a lot more than a lot of people accomplish, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, what can you say? You know, there's a lot of guys, man, that out there doing it don't even get that cup of coffee. So
right. But, and that's why I keep praising these young guys that's coming up, you know, young guys, young girls that's doing it, you know, keep doing it because you never know. You might get that break somewhere else.
Yeah. Yep. Never know. So are you involved in wrestling at all anymore? Do any conventions or any appearances or are you kind of.
Well, because I'm here in the Philippines. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you are. Yep.
Yeah. Right. So every now and then I'll go to, you know, there's some wrestling here in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. They have like two or three promotions here. And so I'll check that out. You know, I'm going out to Vietnam soon. So just a vacation. And they got some wrestling going there. So I'll probably go check out something there. But other than that, no, nothing.
I forgot you're not stateside anymore. That's right.
Yeah.
It gets to be a little hard. It's a long trip. Yeah, for
exactly. I haven't done any conventions. Somebody asked me, have I been back to the ECW arena? But I haven't been, and they invited me. But I told them I'm in the Philippines, so you know.
I'm guessing nobody in the Philippines really knows what ECW is, do they?
No, they do.
They do.
They have, like I said, they have a local scene out here, and they have a couple of you know, they've been a couple of guys came out here like TJP, because you know he's Filipino, and then oh, they got some Japanese wrestlers. Tajiri's been out here lot. Yeah. I hung out with Tajiri maybe two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And so, So he comes out here, you know, constantly, you know, because he's right there in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so the only one from ECW that I know that has been out here. But yeah, they're doing good out here in the Philippines. They're trying, you know, and Yeah, so they're trying to make their mark in pro wrestling, and they're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, is there a way that fans can get in touch with you if they want to say hi or send the regards, or do you kind of keep to yourself a little bit?
Pretty much keep to myself, but you can just catch me on my Facebook page. That's about it. I don't do Instagram or anything like that. You know, just the William Chili Willie Jones Facebook page, and that's it. That's where you found me at. So that's pretty much it. You know, I don't really get out there and do too much. And you know, getting old now, man. Everybody, I just not old, but just kind of chilling. You know, what I mean?
Now you're living up to the name, right? That Chili Willie name. Right? more chill than ever.
Look, when my until my gout hits me, like now, like today, my gout yesterday, and I'm like, oh my god, you know, getting old it's no joke. You know what I mean? So you have all kind of ailments. You know what I mean? And you get on Facebook and you get on these social media group pages, and you know, you take these pictures and people think you're living your best life. Yeah, you're living your best life. You're living it all right.
Yeah.
Take these pain pills.
Yeah. Struggling to get out of bed, right?
I am telling you. Oh, God is good. God is good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh. At least we get to get out of bed, right? Even if it's a struggle, at least we still got to get up. Yeah. Well, Chili, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
Thank you, Dave. Story.
And man, you're very humble, and I like that, man. That's a, you know, a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys like to build their ego up, build what they, you know, overinflate their accomplishments even. And it's refreshing to hear someone as humble as you on here. And
Hey, you know, it's wrestling. You know what I mean? I look at it like this, man. We're fighting clowns. That's all. We're fighting clowns. We know what it is. You know, if you really want to get into the thick of stuff, you know, you need to go to MMA. You know what I mean? Really see how good you are. You're only as good as the other guy allows you to be.
Yep.
So to have an ego in wrestling is crazy. But you got to have confidence, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be that. You gotta have that confidence. You know, but we know what it really is. You know what I mean? It's just fun. It's entertainment, and that's what it is. You know what I mean? So, unless you like a Brock Lesnar, you can't really float your boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's about the only one. He's about the only one that can get in there and really say, "Yeah, I will smash you."
That's real. Right.
Support This Is Extreme and buy the This Is Extreme shirt. Show the world that you are part of the revolution and that you support our podcast and the history of ECW. Go to tinyurl.com/ECWpodshirt and buy yours today.
All right, welcome back to This Is Extreme again. I am Dave Dynasty. Thank you to Chili Willie for joining me and for that interview. Again, a very humble, very fun guy, and I appreciate the time he gave me. As he mentioned in there, he's in the Philippines, so it was a little bit of a struggle time-wise for us to find a time to do this, and you know, he had to get up early and do that for me, and I appreciate that so much. So thank you, Chili Willie, for your time. Now, guys, we'll have a new episode coming to you in 2 weeks. I'm not quite sure who it's going to be yet. I've got lots of interviews lined up, some stuff in the bank, some things I'm working on. So I'm not quite sure yet what I'm putting out there on that next episode. So, again, follow us on social media. You can subscribe to follow the show, on Twitter or X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at ECWPod. Follow me on Twitter at the Dave Dynasty. That is the best way to get the news for the show. I will announce the next guest on those platforms first. So make sure you follow us there. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty and buy an ECW This Is Extreme shirt at tinyurl.com/ECWPodShirt. Guys, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the great positive feedback that you give me on social media. I hope you guys enjoy this show. I know there's lots of ECW podcasts out there. Lots of really, really good ones, right? Lots of fun shows. Lots of them that have been doing it for a long time. But, you know, a lot of those are watch-along shows, and there's, you know, nothing wrong with that. I enjoy that, and I enjoy those. So I didn't feel that I wanted to come out there and just do another watch-along show, right? Because there's so many out there and so many doing it good, doing it right. And I thought, well, you know, what's the point in another one? So I didn't want to go that route. I wanted to do the historical route and talk to the guys that were associated with ECW, whether it be wrestlers or behind the scenes or whatever it is, and talk to them. And they're about their time in ECW and their careers and what their feelings were and all this different stuff. And I thought that's a different light to take and a different approach for an ECW podcast, which I think makes this a very good companion piece to some of those watch-along shows, right? As you watch them, watch along with the programs and get their insights and what they're talking about, and then you can listen to this and hear some of the stuff from the wrestler sides and guys that are, you know, production and behind the scenes, and we have all kinds of stuff lined up. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you enjoy our format and what we're doing that's a little bit different than some of the other shows. I think it's a unique aspect, one that I enjoy, and I hope you are too. But please give me some feedback on social media. Let me know what you think. Tell your friends, the greatest tool we have for growing the show is word of mouth and you guys, right? You are our This Is Extreme Army. You guys are out there supporting us. You're out there sharing my stuff on social media. Keep doing that, but keep hitting it, right? Keep plugging away, telling your friends, sharing us to groups, to pages, to other people, whatever you're doing. Make sure you do it. You know, if the podcast platform you're listening to allows you to rate and review, please do that, because that helps us in that algorithm that when someone's listening to another wrestling program, we come up as a suggested listen. So long story short, you guys are the greatest weapon we have to join this revolution or to grow this revolution and support the history of ECW with this podcast. So continue to do that. Again, a new episode coming in 2 weeks, guys. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed. And until that episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep it extreme.